In the precious name of Jesus, who is Lord of all, Lord of lords, our Savior. Amen. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to our text for tonight, a reading from Luke chapter 20. If you're a visitor with us tonight and do not have a Bible at home, we invite you to take one as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's Word at home and throughout the week. As we look tonight at our text, our theme is good renters or bad. As I look around the congregation this evening, and as I anticipate seeing others tomorrow, I know that some of you and some others tomorrow are landlords. You don't have to raise your hands. Some of you have rental properties. And what you do is you let out what you own for a while, for a time, to those who use it. And to be a landlord can be a good thing if you have good renters. I'm not intentionally a landlord, but Deb and I are landlords because 6 years ago when we moved to Wichita, we were not able to sell the house that we own in St. Louis, and we still own that home. We're hoping sometime soon to sell it, but in the meantime, through these 6 years, we've had renters. Being a landlord can be a good thing if you've got good renters, but it can also be a very difficult thing. Tonight's text is about a landlord and about renters, and the joys of being a landlord, and sometimes some of the hardships and some of the difficulties. Before our text in Luke chapter 20, Luke chapter 19 tells us about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. This text and its setting is during that final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. It's down to the wire, it's down to the end of Jesus' time on earth, and it would be soon that he would suffer on the cross and die for our sins and the sins of all the world. Pastor mentioned in the announcements tonight that we're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday, those events from Luke chapter 19, this coming weekend, this next weekend. And it'll be an opportunity to remember Jesus' triumphal entry. Well, imagine, if you will, at the time of our text, that Jesus has already come into Jerusalem. And what the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19 and the beginning of Luke chapter 20 is that Jesus often went into the temple courtyards. There, as Jesus was preaching and teaching, he was sharing with the people the good news. That's especially what Luke chapter 20, the beginning, tells us. He was teaching and preaching the good news. He was the one who was himself the good news. And he was a proclaimer of the good news. He was telling them about God's love and no doubt about salvation, how they could trust in God and God would provide for them a Savior who was Jesus, who is Jesus, the Lord, the Savior of the world. When he was preaching and teaching, the elders and the teachers of the law and others saw him, and they didn't like what they heard. They didn't like what he was teaching and the good news he was preaching. And so they said, "By what authority do you do this? Who gives you the authority?" And Jesus replied back, "Tell me about John the Baptizer and about his baptism. Who gave that baptism authority?" Well, they didn't want to answer that question, and so Jesus said, "Then I'm not going to answer your question either." And instead, Jesus told a parable. The end of our text tells us that the elders and the teachers of the law, they knew that Jesus was telling this parable about them, and that's why they got angry. Surely Jesus was telling the parable about them and for them. Jesus told this earthly story with the heavenly meaning. He said there was this landlord, there was this owner who planted a vineyard. And then he went away for a long time after he had let it out to renters. Well, the time came, the master knew, when it was time for the harvest, and he was supposed to get his share of the profits, either the money that came from the sale of those goods those crops or some of the crops themselves. When the master sent a servant, they mistreated the servant. They beat him and let him go, pushed him out of the vineyard empty-handed. When he had come back and told the master sent then a second servant, and they treated him the same, and the Bible says even they treated him shamefully, and then sent him away too empty-handed. When he came back and told the landlord, the master, the landlord, the owner of it all, sent yet a third servant, and still they mistreated, abused, and sent him away. You know, it was time for the harvest. He expected, the landlord did, that he would receive what belonged to him. "I know what I'll do," he finally said. "What I'll do is I'll send my very own son. Surely, when they see the son of the owner, they won't mistreat him. They'll know that the son comes with all the authority of the father, all the authority of the landowner, and surely they will give him what belongs to me." But instead, Jesus said in this parable, the wicked tenants, the bad renters, did instead kill the son. They took him out of the vineyard, and they killed him, and thought that they could keep then everything for themselves. Jesus said in this parable, what do you think the landlord, the owner, will do? Surely he will come with an army, he will kick the renters out, and he will kill them. He will destroy them because of their wickedness. The people who heard the parable, the elders and the teachers of the law, they knew that he was telling the parable about them. He and the others said, surely it should not be so, because they didn't want to think that their end was destruction. But that's exactly what they deserved. Jesus told this parable because they, those wicked servants, needed to hear it, and they needed to know the law for themselves. But Jesus told that parable also because he was telling them about the people of Israel. Surely he was telling them about all people. Think of the parable this way. God is the owner of all things. God leaves for a while, not permanently and not fully, but God is not seen by those who take care of things. And so what God does is he sends his servants. His servants are the prophets. Prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And throughout history, throughout time, God sends the prophets. God sends the servants to the people who own everything, or at least are renters, are possessors of everything that belongs to God. And how wickedly these servants throughout history have been treated. Tradition says, for example, Isaiah was actually sawn in two by the people. They were mistreated, they were abused, and they were killed because they spoke for God words of law and judgment that the people needed to hear. Jesus wanted all the world to know, the people of Israel, those who were his first hearers, and us, that God has sent the prophets to speak for him in his place, to demand what belongs to him. And there are wicked servants, there are wicked tenants who treat those prophets, the servants of God, poorly. What's God to do? God says to himself, I know what I'll do. What I'll do is send my very own son. Surely, if I send my son, they will listen to him. They will recognize that the son speaks with the authority of the father, with the landowner, with that one who owns everything. Surely, they will listen to him. But what happened? You know as well as I that what happened was that the son, too, was mistreated. He was abused, he was beaten, he was mocked and spit upon. And we'll see that, we'll observe it again. We are during this season of Lent, and we will more so in Holy Week. Come to those worship opportunities. Come and hear. come and observe, come repentantly, as tenants, as renters, giving to God what belongs to Him. So what happened? They mistreated that son, the only son. They killed him, hoping that they could do what they wanted and would no longer then have to answer to the owner of all things, God the Father. But such is not true. Jesus said in our text tonight from Luke chapter 20, the most important stone is the stone rejected by many, but he's become the most important. In the top of this archway, you see in about the center of the image before you, a triangular-shaped stone. That's the keystone, or the capstone. And in an archway, that keystone is the most important stone in the arch. And the reason it is because the way it's wedged in among the other stones on the arch, it holds all the stones in place. What do you imagine would happen if that keystone were to be withdrawn? What would happen is the whole archway would crumble and everything above it. The keystone, the capstone, is the most important of the stones. And what Luke 20 tells us is that that's the stone which causes people to stumble. And if it falls on them, it will crush them. You can imagine, by the weight and size of that stone, if you were under the arch and it were to fall, it would literally crush whoever was there. If that keystone, that capstone, is Jesus, the scribes and elders and Pharisees and teachers of the law, those mentioned in our text, they rejected him, but he's become the most important. He is the most important. He holds all things together in his care and keeping. He holds together the world. He holds together the church. He holds together your life and mine. And Jesus is the most important. I believe that Jesus told this parable for you and for me tonight as well. You can think of it this way, that God is the landlord, and what he's given is the whole world. God has created it. God has given us everything we are and everything we have. And he lets it out. He rents it out for a while to us. And it's our call to use all that he's given us wisely and well. As I said to the children a moment ago, to his glory we're to use all things. To our good and to the benefit and well-being of those around us. That's how God calls us to use everything he's given us. But sometimes you and I are wicked renters. You and I sometimes think we have all the time in the world. We don't have to worry about when the harvest will come, the end of times. We can use time as we seek fit for our benefit, for our own good. We don't have to worry about the landlord. Sometimes you and I are lazy renters. We ought to be about the work of God, about his ministry, about the teaching and preaching of the good news, as Jesus was in our text. But sometimes we just get lazy. We forget to. We fail to speak the message of the gospel so that others would hear it and believe it and be saved. And sometimes our garden, our vineyard, looks like this overgrown garden. Maybe at the end of the season when you've planted a garden, oh, you've worked for a while, but then toward the end especially, you just let it go. And that's exactly what it does. It goes. It goes to seed. It goes to pot. It's good for nothing. Jesus warns us. Jesus encourages us to recognize that we are renters, and he calls us to be good renters. You see, the harvest is coming. The harvest will come when God will call all things to himself in the end, and he will call us to an accounting. So how have we used the time that God gives us? I hope, and our prayer is that we would use the time God gives us and all the resources he gives us wisely and well. by planting the seed of his word and the message of the gospel, by hoeing it, caring for it, tending to it all our lives long, our families, all the possessions he gives us. He wants those things to grow. He intends that it would be more now than it was when he left it in our charge and keeping. He wants there to be a harvest. He's responsible. Through word and sacrament, he causes his word to grow. He wants us to tend it so that even more and even more of a great harvest will come from it. And that's the harvest of souls. And he will come on the last day to harvest, to bring to himself all that belongs to him. In the meantime, he calls us today, you and me, to be good renters. Maybe it's not a vineyard. Maybe the picture for more for us is the Kansas wheat field, ready for harvest. The harvest is great. The harvest is white. The harvest is ready, Scripture says. Pray for yet other workers to bring in the harvest. God calls you and me, brothers and sisters, to be good renters, to recognize that all we have comes from his good and gracious hand. He has redeemed us, and he calls us to care for others too. May God bless you and me with the forgiveness of sins. For those times that we fail to be good renters, and by his grace, by his Spirit at work within us, that we would be called good renters. And on the last day, we would receive his blessing and his commendation. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the Lord of all and our Savior. Amen.